message for this afternoon, It is Finished. It is Finished. This is a third part of the sermon. We started out a number of weeks ago and we talked about our Lord's mission that was taking him to the cross. And he was interrupted by Satan, who used Peter. And we talked about in Matthew chapter 16, after a great commendation to Peter, Jesus had to tell Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And we used that to share the thought that as Jesus used those words, we need some words, and we need them before we get in trouble, not after. And we shared, some of us, our words that we use when we are faced with difficulty and temptation. Lord's words like, "Lord, help me." And so we share that as words to use before difficulty faces us. And then last week we talked about the audacity of his words. And we talked about the words that Jesus had expressed in the scriptures. Words that could only mean that he was either God or we were a part of the biggest hoax in the history of mankind. We like to think that it was because he was the Son of God. And just to share one of the words that he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They knew exactly what he was saying. In fact, when you read John 8, it says they took up stones to stone him. Because when you read Exodus chapter 3, Moses asks God, "Who should I tell him is coming?" He says, "Tell him, I am, has sent you." And so they understood. Today, we'd like to share with you that those words, the audacity of words of truth, took Jesus actually to the cross. The scripture that was read talks about that. And in fact, we celebrate this weekend, the Christian community, the Christian world, the death on the cross of Jesus, the greatest event in all of history. Thank you. I thought I'd get one amen off of that. The greatest event in all of history. In fact, it had been predicted in Isaiah 53 in verse 7. Predicted that Jesus would be brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And Peter later testifies in Acts 5 and verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." The cross, the instrument of punishment, has its ancient origins in the practice of fastening people to a tree. In fact, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 says, "Whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." My Lord was fastened to a tree. We often see pictures of the large cross. That's probably not accurate. No one probably could carry a cross as big as some of the painters paint the cross. And we see Jesus usually up very high on the cross, when in fact, it was very low to the ground, probably only 12 inches to 15 inches off the ground. And his head was almost at the top of the cross. My Lord fastened to the cross. I'd like to continue the theme of words. We talked about Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan," using those words before we get into trouble. And then we talked about the audacity of words of truth that Jesus says. Now, I'd like to show you just a couple of words that Jesus said on the cross. First of all, one word that he says, and if you would turn, I just want to show it to you, in John the 19th chapter and verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now, I'm only bringing this up because of the sermon that I preached last week. I said the audacity of his words of truth, and I named all of the things that he said. And one of the things that Jesus said, and you'll find this in John 4 and verses 13 and 14, and John 6 and verse 35, where Jesus says, he said to a woman, "If you drink of this water, you will thirst. But if you drink of this water," talking about himself, "whoever drinks of this water will never thirst." And then in John 6, 35, "He who believes in me shall never thirst." We said that those words were true, but yet we see Jesus on the cross, ironic, saying, "I thirst." What's going on here? He said, "We'll never thirst." Yet he's on the cross saying, "I thirst." One of the things you always have to remember about Jesus, which I can't explain, but I believe it's true, he was both God and man. And as man, and watch this, oh, I do it all the time. Sometimes I think, because I'm a Christian, and I'm doing God's will, that I can treat my body any kind of way and it'll be all right. No. Your body will let you know that it thirsts as a human. If you don't take care of yourself, your body will let you know. That's what happened with Jesus as a human. He thirsted. And in fact, he was on the cross, enduring all that he had been up all night, doing all of this for you and me. I thirst. That's the human side of us. If you work overwork, you will be tired. Oh, y'all don't have to say amen to that. It's okay humanly to be tired. It's okay to thirst and to hunger. But I'd like to key in on John 19 and verse 30, the words there. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Think about this. Jesus, end of his ministry, a few friends, a few family members, on the cross, fastened to a tree. His last words, "It is finished." Now you have to say that a certain way. Does he say, "It's all over"? Or does he say, "It is finished"? I mean, it matters how you say that. Everything here says is over. Few friends, disciples are scattered, nailed to a cross, death comes to the Prince of Life. But Jesus says, it is finished. I believe he said it as a shout of victory. I believe that his words are different from any other words that have ever been said. And I'll show you that at the end. He was saying, there are no loose ends. I don't need any successors. There's no unfinished tasks to be taken up by someone else. I have a console stereo. It was one of the first furniture that my wife and I bought in June. It'll be 39 years. I still have it. The record player, I said that right, the record player no longer works. It should have been gone from our house maybe 20 or 30 years ago. But I still have the console record player because I plan to restore it. I've been planning to restore it since 1994. It's not finished. My wife really doesn't want to take it with us to Texas, but I'll probably take it because I plan to restore it. But you're laughing because you got one of those items too. And you know that you will never finish it. Some may be in your driveway or in the back of your house. We all have things like that. Let's face it, we'll never finish it. But not God. When it came to our salvation, it is finished. Now, let me tell you something, and I don't mean to get you upset, but I believe this. I don't quite get this. It's probably my twisted theology, but I know that Jesus did everything possible right then and there on Calvary for me to be saved. But you know something? I don't believe deep inside the recesses, I don't believe that it's finished. But it is. It is finished. Everything that I need to be saved was done on Calvary. Now, that almost seems like heresy because I think about all the things that I still want to do. But I want to let you know today, it is finished. Oh, now what about, we preach all of these last day events. What about all of that? That still has to happen. Come on now, y'all smiling, because you know where I'm going with this, right? What about the Sabbath? We have to tell the world about the Sabbath. Come on now. And you're telling me that it's finished? It is finished. How do I know? You ought to feel, you ought to believe But if you left this, walked out of this church, and for some reason your life was taken, you have to believe that God has saved you. Amen? Amen? You might not do another work. What was done on Calvary is finished. I know you got your heresy pins out. What I've discovered, Jesus rendered a complete obedience all through his life. The voice of his Father pierced his heart, and he responded, "I must be about my Father's business." None of the enemies could say that they convinced Jesus to sin. He always did what pleased his Father. And he fulfilled, I want you to not miss this, he fulfilled all righteousness. That's including mine. That's how I'm able to say that. I don't say it because I'm living so good. I'm saying it because God is so good. I'm really, that's what it's all about. And it is finished. A complete atonement. But I have to tell you, it is finished. But then it's not finished. You know why? And I got to explain this to you. What he did on Calvary took care of everything. Even the things that happen today and will happen 10 years from now. It took care of that. And when we hear the story today of the cross, and we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we respond to that, guess what we want to do? We want to tell somebody else. We respond out of love. When we hear that story, and if the world lasts another 1,000 years, there will be people added to the church daily. What he did 2,000 years ago, the results are still being seen. He is good. Someone said that he drained the cup. He held it upside down and not one drop trickled down the edge. It is finished. But yet it's not finished. It won't stop. What he did on Calvary, the results will not stop until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. I hope you're getting this. The effects of the cross are continual, yet it is finished. What was done at the cross settles our salvation. You know what this made me think about as I conclude? If you go to Genesis, after God created our world, it wasn't finished It really wasn't finished until he shared it with us. He created us and he brought us together to share with him on a special day called the Sabbath. Isn't that connecting? And that's the way it is with salvation. He has allowed us to be a part of what he has done by sharing it with others. And when Jesus cried, "It is finished," I want you to turn to this one scripture as we close. Matthew 27. I talked about the scripture, but I want you to see it. Matthew 27. And starting at verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth, what everybody, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went unto the holy city and appeared to many. Never words like that. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," graves opened up. Hallelujah. What words. When Jesus said it is finished. I mean, if that's not a sign of victory and conquering, I don't know what is. That's what we hold on to. That's why we're here. Because when we have loved ones that pass away, and we hear the words, "It is finished," we know that in those words is power and victory and resurrection. It is finished. Revelation says, "It is done." Oh my. Without going into detail, the news reported about a baseball player. One of his first games, those who are in the sports world, pitched the game of his life. And on the highway, somebody ran into him. I think he was 21 years old. His dad was in the stands when he pitched that game. He is gone. And you know, when you hear stuff like that, you got to know that it is finished. You got to know that. In these days in which we're living, you got to know those words. "It is finished." Do you accept that? Now let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. No words like your words. A completed work for our salvation. And Lord, at the end of that, the end of it all, will be a new heaven and a new earth. And no more sin, no more sorrow, no more evil. Lord, we accept that it is finished and it is done. In Jesus' name, amen.